The Gemara in Bava Kamma, the end of the Perek Meruba, the end of the seventh Perek, the Gemara lists off all of the 10 takonas that Ezra instituted, and among them is the takona to read Kriyas HaTorah Sheni V'Chamishi. The Gemara poses the question that we have a historical tradition that takona to learn Kriyas HaTorah Sheni V'Chamishi and Shabbos was instituted in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, because right after Oz Yashur, in Parshas B'Shalach, the Torah tells us that the Jewish people were traveling in the Midbar and there was no water for 3 days. Then they came to a location, the water was bitter, and Moshe Rabbeinu prayed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and accomplished a miracle. And he accomplished that the water was no longer bitter and they could drink the water. So the simple reading of the Pasuk, Pshuto Shel Mikra, means that there was no water to drink for 3 days. The Gemara has a historical tradition that in addition to that simple pshat, there's another level of interpretation. They weren't learning for 3 days, and that was a disaster. So Moshe Rabbeinu and his Bezdin instituted at that time a takana to read Kriyas HaTorah 3 times a week on Sheni V'Chamishi and Shabbos. How can you tell me the brayse in the end of Perek Merubah, the end of the seventh parak in Bava Kamma, that it was Ezra who instituted the Kriyas HaTorah 3 times a week, if it was instituted centuries earlier by Moshe Rabbeinu? So the Gemara explains that correct, the original takana was made by Moshe Rabbeinu and his Bezdin, but Ezra added on. Either there was only one aliyah in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, or there were 3 aliyahs, but there weren't as many psukim. Somehow Ezra enhanced the takana de Rabban. So I'll call upon him. The Gemara says it's a takana de Rabbanon. It's not a mitzvah min HaTorah. Kriyas HaTorah 3 times a week is a takana de Rabbanon. And the rationale behind it, the Gemara explains based on the pasuk, is that you shouldn't have 3 days go by without learning Torah. Shelo yechu shloshes yamin b'loy Torah. That's why there's one opinion in Shulchan Aruch, one of the commentaries printed on the side of the page, of Terah Zakenim, who writes that what if there was a snowstorm on Monday and no one showed up in shul and they didn't learn Kriyas HaTorah, but Tuesday everybody's there. So in order not to go 3 days without learning, they heard Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos, then you go to Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, so Tuesday will be the 3rd day. So one is the Terah Zakenim suggests that you should learn Kriyas HaTorah on Tuesday. If you missed, everybody missed it, you have a million of people. This Kriyas HaTorah on Monday, say learn Kriyas HaTorah on Tuesday. That's not the accepted opinion. We assume that this is the Takana de Rabbanim is only instituted on Sheni V'Chamishi, and if you learn Kriyas HaTorah on any other day, it'll be Bracha L'Vatolah. Because we all said Brichas HaTorah when we woke up in the morning. Before we start the daven, you recite Brichas HaTorah. So to recite Brichas HaTorah again over the Kriyas HaTorah only applies if there's a Takana de Rabbanim. And we don't accept this opinion of the Ateris Kenim that there's the Takana was to lane every 3 days. Takana was Monday and Thursday, that's all. Doesn't imply on another day. The obligation to lane Kriyas HaTorah is only with the Rabbanon.
I just wanted to ask that. One person gets some Leah. When he says the Rabbanon again, when the Shekhov it's really repeated. You said it before, Brachot Torah.
Right?
So it's not from Brachot Torah, but it's there, I said it.
Right, so the answer is this was a special takanas chachamim to recite Brichas HaTorah over Kriyas HaTorah when you fulfill the takana of Moshe and Ezra to learn Kriyas HaTorah. But if you're going to learn on a Tuesday,
so
that'll be...
Right,
they required of us we should recite Brichas HaTorah. The Netziv was the Rosh Yeshiva in Valozhin the last 39 years that Valozhin lasted. Valozhin lasted for 90 years, from 1801 to 1891. And then the Rabbanim felt they had to close the yeshiva. Those are the pressure from the Russian government. So the Netziv lived in Europe, and they used to send him shaylos from all over the world. So they had a shaylos, they sent him from Chicago. They made a Siyum Sefer Torah on a Sunday morning, and they were dancing in the street and celebrating. Then when they came to the shul, where they were going to leave the Sefer Torah, so the Balabatim decided to learn Kriyas HaTorah. They just finished the new Sefer Torah. So they opened up the Sefer Torah, and they gave out aliyahs, and they charged monies, and Misha Berachs, and the whole story. So there was a whole machlekes ensued, whether there was a bracha l'batola or not. So they couldn't, they had Rabbanim in Chicago, they had a machlekes, so they sent the Shaila to the Netziv. So in his collection of tshuvas, that's called the Meshiv Dover, he writes, he thinks that it is a bracha l'batola. He thinks they cannot lane on any day. You want to lane gezun tehei, but you can't recite the bracha over laning if it's any day other than Sheni V'Chamishi, Shabbos Yontif, Chanukah, Purim, etc., etc. If there's no takanas chachamim, then it will be a bracha l'batola. the obligation to learn Kriyas HaTorah is only midirabbanan on Sheni v'Chamishi, but the kiyum haMitzvah in learning probably is a kiyum min haTorah. We know there is an institution once every 7 years on Chol HaMoed Sukkos following Shnas HaShmita, this past Sukkos. If Shmita would have been min haTorah, we assume Shmita b'zman hazeh is only the Rabbanan. If Shmita would have been min haTorah, there would have been a mitzvah to read Hakel. Hakel is basically Kriyas HaTorah b'tzibur. That you have the whole Klal Yisrael learning Kriyas HaTorah in the Beis HaMikdash. And whenever we have Kriyas HaTorah on Sheni v'Chamishi and Shabbos and Yontem and so on, there is a Kiyum Deraisa. The Chiyuv is only the Rabbanan. But the Kiyum is a Kiyum Deraisa. We learn Kriyas HaTorah in addition to Sheni v'Chamishi. We learn Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos and Yontif, and the Gemara says that the number of Aliyahs depends on how important the day is. We assume that there are 7 Aliyahs on Shabbos and 6 Aliyahs on Yom Kippur because Shabbos is a higher level of Kedusha than Yom Kippur. The truth of the matter is that this is a dispute in the Gemara. This is the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Akiva's opinion is the reverse, that Yom Kippur should have 7 Aliyahs, the Shabbos should have 6 Aliyahs. But Rabbi Akiva's opinion has not been accepted here. Usually we do follow Rabbi Akiva when he disagrees with Rabbi Shmuel. Here we don't. So we give 7 Aliyahs on Shabbos, 6 Aliyahs on Yom Kippur, 5 Aliyahs on the Yontif, Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, Rosh Hashanah, and Rosh Chodesh Chol HaMoed, we give 4 Aliyahs, and on a regular day we give 3 Aliyahs. On Chanukah and Purim, it's only Midirabbanon, it's not a Yontif on the level of the Rice, so it's a plain day, we only give 3 Aliyahs. We lay in something special that has to do with Chanukah, with Purim. The Ramban in his commentary on Chumash on Parshas Emor makes the suggestion that has been quoted by Rabbi Yosef Karo in his Beis Yosef and quoted in Shulchan Aruch. Ramban is trying to translate the words Mikra Kodesh. It says in Chumash that Shabbos is Mikra Kodesh and Yom Tov is Mikra Kodesh. What does that mean, Mikra Kodesh? So the Gemara in the end of Rosh Hashanah seems to translate Mikra Kodesh, a day on which we should recite Kiddush. Mikra means to declare Kodesh. We should declare the Kedusha Sayyam. We should recite Kiddush in the davening. We should recite Kiddush over a cup of wine. However, we're going to recite Kiddush. Ramban in his commentary on Chumash thinks that that's not the Pshut Roshon Mikra. He thinks that the word Mikra comes from Kruoi Ho'eda, to gather together. Ele Kruoi Ho'eda. And Mikra Kodesh means a day of holy assemblage, that the Jewish people were commanded to gather together on Shabbos and Yom Tov. All of these days are labeled as Mikra Kodesh for religious purposes. What can you do? What do you mean gather together? A day of holy assemblage to gather together. So the Ramban says that to have Tefillah B'tzibur and to have Kriyas HaTorah and to have a Drosha Sachacham. Traditionally, in the days of the Tanoim, the rabbi would give a Divrei Torah. The rabbi would give a shiur on Shabbos and Yom Tov in public, a public shiur. So the Ramban says that is the source of this institution, is the Pasuk Mikra Kodesh. It's interesting, there is a famous dispute, the Rambam and the Ramban, whether the obligation to daven every day is min haTorah midirabbanan. The Rambam's opinion is that there's a biblical obligation to daven once a day, every day. And the fact that we daven 3 times a day, or 4 times a day, or 5 times a day on Yom Kippur, we daven Shachris, Mincha, Ma'ariv, and Musaf, and Nila 5 times on Yom Kippur, the number of tefillos, that's midirabbanan. But the Rambam thinks that once a day, every day is min haTorah. The Ramban disagrees. And he thinks that the whole obligation to daven even once a day, every day, is only midirabbanan. And nonetheless, the Ramban writes that tefillah b'tzibur on Shabbos and Yom Tov is min haTorah. The obligation to daven every day is only midirabbanan. But tefillah b'tzibur, that's mikra kodesh. Tefillah b'tzibur is a biblical obligation. Rabbi Yosef Kara quotes this Ramban in his commentary on the Tur and the Beis Yosef. And he thinks that the Chachamim who composed the Nusach HaTfilah on Yom Tov and on Shabbos, those who composed the text of the Tefillah, the Amidah, must have thought like the Ramban, because otherwise, why did they incorporate this phrase, Mikra Kodesh, into the davening? Mikra Kodesh in the davening sounds like it has something to do with the Tefillah. That means it's a day of holy assemblage to gather together and to daven. So the Ramban writes there that Mikra Kodesh requires of us that on Shabbos and Yom Tov, we should learn Kriyas HaTorah. Okay? That could well be. This is famous from the Ritva on Megillah, when the Gemara talks about Kriyas HaTorah, Asheni v'Chamishi v'Sheni. So the Ritva says, but on Shabbos and Yom Tov, he thinks Kriyas HaTorah is there. So he doesn't quote the Ramban, but it seems that he's basically saying the same as the Ramban. The Mishnah in Megillah lists off all the different days, how many aliyahs you give on Yom Tov, on Rosh Chodesh, on Chol HaMoed, and so on. And then the Mishnah says that sometimes you're permitted to make hoisafis to add on more aliyahs. Sometimes we don't permit hoisafis. So in Shulchan Aruch they quote the Chumrah of the Ran. The Ran in his commentary on the Riv understood the Mishnah to say that you're never allowed to make any hoisafis except for Shabbos. If you make a hoisaf on a weekday, so the Gemara says people have to go to work. They don't have time to sit around with more than three aliyahs. Okay. Rosh Chodesh Chalamoid also, a lot of people are going to work. Not everybody takes off on Chalamoid. So you shouldn't make more than four aliyahs. Yontif, no one's going to work. Yontif and Yom Kippur and Shabbos, no one's going to work. So the Ran says, even though no one's going to work, you're not allowed to give more than five aliyahs on Yontif or more than six aliyahs on Yom Kippur, because then you're giving Yontif more chashivas than it deserves. You're giving Yontif the same level of chashivas as Yom Kippur. You're giving Yom Kippur the same level of chashivas as Shabbos. The only day on which we permit Hoysofet, that's what the Ran writes, is on Shabbos. So that's the common practice, that on Yontif and Yom Kippur, we don't allow any Hoysofet. Basically, Tosis disagrees. Tosis says that it's not so. The Mishnah says you don't give Hoysofet on a weekday, or on Rosh Chodesh, or on Chalamoid, or on Chanukah and Purim, because people have to go to work. But Tosis Shita is that on Yontif and Yom Kippur, it's the same din as Shabbos, you may make Hoysofet. But the minig is not, all year long, most of the time, the minig is not like Tosis. On Simchas Torah, the minig is like Tosis. Everybody gets an aliyah. So you lay over the Sedra many times over, you give Hoysofet. So basically, Mikra Din, that's really how we paskin, that you may give Hoysofet on Yontif, Yom Kippur, and Shabbos, but most of the time we follow the Ran's shot that we don't make any Hoysofet. Where do you see that Tosis disagrees with the Ran? Because the Gemara Megillah in the third parak has a machlokes hamaroim regarding maftir. When the Mishnah says that on Yontif you give five aliyahs, on Yom Kippur you give six aliyahs, on Shabbos you give seven aliyahs, is that with maftir, or is that including maftir, or is that aside from maftir? So it's a machlokes in the Gemara. So our practice is a little problematic. On Shabbos and on Yontif and on Yom Kippur we give the number of aliyahs aside from maftir. Maftir is eino ayla l'minyan akruim. Maftir is a separate aliyah. And on a tainis tzibur, when you only give three aliyahs, so the third aliyah is the maftir. So manish tana, how come on a tainis the maftir is ayla l'minyan akruim, and on Shabbos and Yontif and Yom Kippur the maftir is not ayla l'minyan akruim? So this is a machlekes in Tosfos. What is our practice all about? Why do we have a compromise? So the Rabbeinu Tam says that mikra din we paskin that the maftir is ayla l'minyan akruim. Maftir can count as one of the aliyahs, so that's why on a tiny sibur, you're not allowed to make any hoisafis, so you only give three aliyahs, and the third one is maftir. So how come on Shabbos and Yontif and Yom Kippur, the maftir is separate? So the Rabbeinu Tam says, well, you're permitted to make hoisafis on Yontif and on Yom Kippur and on Shabbos. So you may as well satisfy the other opinion as well. So why not to make everybody happy? So give on Shabbos, give seven aliyahs and give maftir. So if the maftir is supposed to be one of the aliyahs, say, so made a hoisafis, what's wrong? And maftir is not supposed to be if maftir is not supposed to be one of the aliyahs, so you have seven aliyahs and you have maftir. Maftir is supposed to be one of the aliyahs, so you made a hoisofa, so what's so good? So that's what the Rabbeinu Tam says. Rabbeinu Tam in Tosfos clearly is working on the assumption that it's permissible to make hoisofas on Yontif and on Yom Kippur as well as on Shabbos. Tosfos quotes that Rabbeinu Meshulam disagreed with the Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Meshulam was a contemporary of Rabbeinu Tam. Disagreed on a lot of issues. Tosfos quotes a lot of times Rabbeinu Meshulam disagreeing with Rabbeinu Tam, and the Or Zohar quotes more disputes that they had. The Rishonim quote they had quite a few disputes. So the Rabbeinu Meshulam is of the opinion that the fact that on Shabbos and Yontif and Yom Kippur the maftir is separate, this is an indication the maftir is not one of the aliyahs. Supposed to be separate. What's on a tainis tzibur? So the Rabbeinu Meshulam doesn't explain it. So that's where Rav Soloveitchik was filling in for the Rabbeinu Meshulam. He doesn't explain how come on a tainis tzibur. If the maftir is supposed to be separate, so how come Shlishi gets maftir? So Rav Soloveitchik explained that if you look in the Gemara in Megillah, in the third parak, the Gemara quotes a brisa that one tana is of the opinion that on a tainis tzibur, it depends what day of the week the tainis tzibur falls out on. If it falls out on a Monday or Thursday, then when you're laying, you give three aliyahs. Monday or Thursday, you have to give three aliyahs. If the Tanis Tzibur falls out on Sunday, Tuesday, or Wednesday, or Friday, then one Tanis says you only give one aliyah. What is that all about? One aliyah? You never have Kriyas HaTorah. less than three aliyahs. So he apparently is of the opinion that Tana, we don't pass like that Tana, but try to understand what he said. So apparently that Tana is of the opinion that basically on a Tana Sibah you don't have to lane Kriyas HaTorah. There's no reason to lane. We just want to lane HaTorah, because the Nevi'im, the role of the Nevi'im was to give Tochacha and Musa to the Bnei Yisrael. So a Tainus is always when you have an Eis Tzara. And on an Eis Tzara, you're supposed to give Musa and Tochacha. The Gemara says the program, the schedule that they used to have on every Tainus Sibur, so the Rabbanim used to give Musa, and the Gabbanim used to pressure the people to give Tzedakah, and they would go be checking whether everybody has mezuzahs on their doors, if everybody is fulfilling all the mitzvahs properly. So the basic kriya that you want to have on the Tainus Sibur is really the kriya of the Haftarah, because the Haftarah is from the Navi, and all of the words of the Nevi'im are always Divrei Tochacha v'Divrei Musa. But the Gemara has a klal, Hamafta b'Novi tzorch she'ikur b'Torah t'chilo. We don't allow someone to get Mafta without first laning Kriyas HaTorah. So that's why one Tana is of the opinion that if a Tainus Sibur falls out on Sunday, or Tuesday, or Wednesday, or Friday, there's no need to have three aliyahs. All you need is one aliyah. You don't really need any aliyah. You just want to lane Maftir. In order to enable the Baal Mafta to say the Mafta, to say a few words of Tachacha, you have to introduce the Kriyas HaTorah with at least one aliyah. We don't paskin like that Tana. We paskin even if the Tainus Sibur falls out on Sunday or Wednesday or Friday, you still have to give three aliyahs. But basically, that's because we assume there's never any Kriyas HaTorah less than three aliyahs. But we really agree with that Tana, that the main Kriya on the Tainus Sibur is really the Haftarah. And the whole Kriyas HaTorah, the whole three aliyahs, is just in order to enable you to read the Haftarah. So perhaps that's why the Rabbeinu Meshulam wasn't bothered with this kasha. He thinks that we really pass them after is not early l'minyan akruim, and that's how we understand Shabbos and Yom Tov and Yom Kippur, why the after is separate from the 5, 6, or 7 aliyahs. And on the Tainus Sibur is a different story. There never was a dispute on the Tainus Sibur, because on the Tainus Sibur, the whole Kriyas HaTorah, all the three aliyahs, are only in order to enable the person to say Haftarah, to give the Tochacha. Yeah, the Kriyas HaTorah Shachris on the Tainus Sibur didn't exist in the days of the Gemara. The days of the Gemara, they only had Kriyas HaTorah to Mincha. It was introduced, the Vilna Gaon quotes this in his commentary on the Shulchan Aruch. Kriyas HaTorah Shachris on the Tainus Sibur was introduced in the days of the Gaonim. And basically, you're laning the same Kriyas HaTorah twice. You're laning in the morning what you're going to lane in the afternoon. So the Netziv adds in that Tshuva to Chicago. He says, if you're going to lane Kriyas HaTorah on a Sunday, or on a Wednesday, or on a Friday, where there's no takana, that'll be a bracha levatola. But if you lane Kriyas HaTorah a second time on the same day, he says, that's apparently not a bracha levatola, because otherwise, what right did the Gaonim have to introduce the same Kriyas HaTorah in the morning and in the afternoon?
I don't really understand the logic of this time, because when we lane Maftir, we're essentially the deceivers in our Torah. So, if you're saying that you don't allow Maftir unless you learn one Aliyah, what's the logic behind that? Because Maftir, you learn Torah anyway. So we're gonna say that unless you learn more Torah, you're prevented from learning less.
No. The Gemara says the logic is we don't want anybody to think that the Nevi'im are just as important as the Chumash. So if you're going to have somebody going to give a lot of aliyahs, let's say on Shabbos, then the Maftir is just going to lane the Haftarah. So the other people lane from the Sefer Torah, he lanes from the Navi. It's all on equal footing. So the Gemara says we don't want anyone to have that mistaken impression that the Nevi'im are just as important as the Chumash. So whoever wants to lane from the Nevi'im has to first lane Hamafta Benot Tzorch Shikabat Torah Tchila, to show that the Chumash is more important than the Navi. So one Tan is of the opinion that on a Tan, Rabbi Yossi is of the opinion that on a Tan of Sibur that falls out on a Sunday or a Friday, you only give one aliyah, because you're not really interested in giving aliyahs. You just want to lane Tochacha and Musa from the Nevi'im, but you can't lane Nevi'im without first laning from the Torah. So we don't paskin like that. We paskin you need three aliyahs, but all the three aliyahs are just in order to enable somebody to say Haftarah. So no one's going to say that the Maftir is separate from the Kriyas HaTorah. All Kriyas HaTorah is just to enable us to lane the Maftir. The Mishnah Megillah records that in the days of the Tanoim, the Takana was that the one who got the first aliyah, let's say on a weekday, or a Chalamoid, there are 4 aliyahs, 5 aliyahs, 6 aliyahs, whatever, however many aliyahs, whoever got the first aliyah said the bracha shebacha banu, whoever got the last aliyah said the bracha shenasan lanu, and the people in between did not recite any brachas. The practice that we have today, that everyone who gets an aliyah says a bracha before and after his aliyah, the Gemara says that this was introduced by Rabbi Shmuel in Bovel. The Gemara seems to give the explanation, it sounds a little strange. Mara says the explanation is because there were people coming in and going out. It was like a train station in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah. So people will come in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah. They will have not have heard the first bracha. People are going to be running out the middle of Kriyas HaTorah. They will miss the bracha after the Kriyas HaTorah. So that's what motivated Rabbi Shmuel to introduce a bracha before and after every aliyah. Rabbi Yosef Kara has a commentary on the side of the Rambam. Everybody knows it's called the Kesef Mishnah. So the Kesef Mishnah writes he's not sure whether Rabbi Shmuel made a fundamental change in the nature of the takana until the days of Rabbi Shmuel and days of the Tanoim. The whole Kriyas HaTorah was treated as one unit. That's why he only said one bracha before, one bracha after. And then Rabbi Shmuel changed the nature of the whole takana, and they made every aliyah into a separate unit. That's why every aliyah requires a bracha before and after. Or maybe we should say no, that it's still one unit. What's the difference? Stam philosophy. So he has the following din. The Mishnah says in Megillah, also Mishnah Megillah, that you cannot begin to learn Kriyas HaTorah unless you have a minyan. You have to have 10 people in shul. But the Yerushalmi says, and this is quoted in Shulchan Aruch, let's say you started Kriyas HaTorah with a minyan, then in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah, one of the people left to work, and you only left with 9 people, 8 people, or 7 people, or 6 people. So as long as you have Roiv HaTzibur, if everybody left and you only have the Balkari and the Oyla Later, then you don't continue learning. But if you have Roiv of the Tzibur, 6 people are left, the Balkari and the Tugaboyim and the Oyla Later, whatever. So if you have 6 people left, Roiv HaTzibur, says, if you started, the same thing, let's say, Chazaras HaShatz, you cannot recite Chazaras HaShatz unless you have a minyan of 10 people. So let's say when the Chazan starts Chazaras HaShatz, he has 10 people, and then in the middle, the minyan disappears, people go away. So if you still have 6 people, the Chazan plus another 5 people, so he can finish the Chazaras HaShatz and say the Kaddish Tiskabel at the end also, he's just finishing the unit that he began with the minyan. So the Yerushalmi says the same is true regarding Kriyas HaTorah. If they started Kriyas HaTorah with a minyan, and some of the people disappeared, and you have left Roiv HaTzibur, you should complete the Kriyas HaTorah, because it's one unit. So the Kesef Mishnah is not sure, maybe that's only in the days of the Tanoim, that they only said a bracha before and after the whole unit of the whole Kriyas HaTorah is one big unit. But after Rabbi Shmuel introduced their takana, that every Oyla Later should say a bracha before and after his aliyah, so maybe we should treat each aliyah as a separate unit. And if the minyan disappeared in the middle of the first or the second aliyah, that's it. You can only finish that aliyah. And you can't move on to the next aliyah. So he's not sure. Some of the latest Svarim write, it's the proper thing is one should be machmer on that. We shouldn't go to the next aliyah, because we should really consider each aliyah as a separate unit. After the change in the takana that was introduced by Rabbi Shmuel, we should really treat every aliyah as a separate unit. There is a Mishnah in the middle of Maseches Gittin, of all places, Mishnah Perek HaNezokin, that lists off all of the takonas that the rabbis introduced Mipnei Darkei Shalom in order to cause friction, in order to prevent the friction, not to cause friction, not to prevent the machlekes in the shul. So one of the takonas that they quote is, the Kohen gets the first aliyah in order that there shouldn't be any machlekes. What does that mean? The Kohanim are such difficult people to deal with. Some of my best friends are Kohanim, so what do you mean? You better give the kohen the first aliyah, he's going to kill you. So what does it mean? So the Gemara says no. The fact that you give the kohen the first aliyah, that's based on a pasuk in Chumash Vikidashto. You should be mechaber the kohen to get the first aliyah. But min haTorah, the din is that the kohen can be moichel on his kovet. And the rabbis made a takana that the kohen should not be moichel on his kovet, because that may lead to machloikis. Why? One Shabbos, the kohen's going to come to shul, and there are 3 people that have yartzeit, and a chosin, and a bris, and a this, and a that, and the gaboim need all the aliyahs. And so the kohen will say, okay, I'm moichel on my aliyah, give it to someone else. I don't need an aliyah. Then the next Shabbos, the kohen will not be moichel on his aliyah. He doesn't like those people. Last week, they were friends of his, the ones who had yartzeit, the ones who are having the bar mitzvah. So he said, it's moichel on his kohen. Next week, they're not friends of his. So he says, he demands the first aliyah. So the chacham made a takana, the kohen should never be moichel on his kohen, because if will permit the kohen to be moichel on his kavod, sometimes it will be moichel, sometimes it won't be moichel, it may cause machloikas. So then the Gemara comments, this is only on Shabbos and Yonder when the shul is crowded. On the weekdays, not so crowded in shul, so it's not gonna be such a big machloikas. So on the weekdays, he's permitted to be moichel on his kavod. Tosis adds on that Gemara. The days of the Balei HaTosis, the communities were very tiny. So the number of people who attended shul every day of the week was the same as on Shabbos. During the period of the Crusaders, they wiped out complete communities, but the communities were very small. It wasn't like the Nazis, they killed so many millions of Jews. days of the Crusades, there weren't so many, there were a lot of villages, but each village only had 15 Jews, 20 Jews. They weren't so populated. Tosfos even talks about a situation, there was a village, there was only one Jewish family, and all the other people were non-Jews in the whole village. How many children were there already in the one Jewish family? So Tosfos writes on that Gemara that Bizman Hazeh, in the days of the Balei HaTosfos, the same number of people show up in shul every day of the week as show up on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So the takonin that the kohen should not be moichel on his kovet even applies during the weekdays, because the shul is just as crowded on Sheni v'Chamishi as it is on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in his sefer that today we have restored the holy situation in the days of the Tanoim, that the shul is crowded on Shabbos and Yom Tov and it's empty in the middle of the week. So he says, so the din goes back, the din reverts back to the way it used to be in the days of the Tanaim, that in the middle of the week the kohen may be moichel on his kovet, and only on Shabbos and Yom Tov we wouldn't permit him to be moichel on his kovet. On the last daf in Megillah, the Gemara has, the last daf ends on an Amud Aleph, so the Gemara quotes a machlekes Reb Yehuda and Reb Meir, machlekes HaTanaim, about a concern. When the Oyla Latar is going to recite the Brocha, Shabbos HaBano, Shanasan Lano, so somebody may think mistakenly that the bracha is ksuvas bater. Somebody may think that the brachas are written in the Sefer Torah. And we're concerned about that. What do we have to be concerned about? Every Yom Haaretz who thinks that the brachas are written? I don't know. So that's what the Tanoim are concerned about. So what can you possibly do to prevent such a mistake from being made? So there's a machlekes HaTanoim. So one Tana says, you have to, the one who gets the Aliyah has to open up the Sefer Torah, has to see where his Aliyah begins. Then he should close the Sefer Torah, so no one will think that he's reading the brachas from the Sefer Torah. They may have a siddur there, they may have something on the side, but he closed the Sefer Torah, so nobody in his right mind will think that he's saying the brachas from the Sefer Torah. And then he should open, after he finishes the bracha, he opens the Sefer Torah, he leans, and then he closes the Sefer Torah before he says the bracha shenasalam. The next Tana disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with Rabbi Meir. Whenever there's a machlekes Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, usually Rabbi Meir loses. Usually Rabbi Meir loses whoever he disagrees with. Gemara says Rabbi Meir was too sharp. So he would give a pilpul shia, and he would say so many logical possibilities. The students didn't know what his shita was halacha lemais. So they left his yeshiva. They left his shia. They went to some other tana. So the next generation, when it was time to vote, had a paskin. So the overwhelming majority of the Tanoim were not students of Rav Meir, because he was too sharp for everybody. So usually we don't, in rare cases, we pass like Rav Meir. So you're also machlekes Rameir, Rav Yehuda, Halachik Rav Yehuda, we pass like Rav Yehuda. So Rav Yehuda says, you open up the Sefer Torah, and you see where the place is to lane. You shouldn't say the bracha before you see where they're going to lane. And you can leave the Sefer Torah open until after you finish laning, and then you close the Sefer Torah and say the bracha afterwards. That's what Rabbi Yehuda says. So Tosfos comments on that Gemara, the last daf in Megillah. Rabbi Yehuda says that it's not necessary to close the Sefer Torah, but he would agree if it closes the Sefer Torah, that's better. He doesn't require what Rabbi Meir requires. Rabbi Meir insists you have to paser v'roya, you have to open up the Sefer Torah, see where the place is you're going to lane, and then Rabbi Meir insists you must close the Sefer Torah before you say the bracha, then open it again. Rabbi Yehuda says if you don't want to, you don't have to, but he would certainly agree that it's preferable. That's how Tosfos comments. The Rambam just quotes Rabbi Yehuda. He doesn't say what Tosfos said. So many commentaries on the Rambam understand that the Rambam does not agree with Tosfos. That the Rambam thinks that we pass like Rabbi Yehuda against Rabbi Meir, and you open up the Sefer Torah and you say the Bruch and you leave it open. So many have the practice to close the Sefer Torah, like Tosfos recommends. Even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that it's preferable to close the Sefer Torah. Many have the practice, Dafka, to leave the Sefer Torah open, following the simple reading of the Rambam, that the Rambam doesn't seem to agree with. The Rambam seems to hold that it's preferable to leave the Sefer Torah open. Why should you dafka leave the Sefer Torah open? What's so terrible if you close the Sefer Torah? So in the Shulchan Aruch, the commentaries explain that there's a problem of over the over. The din is that whenever one is about to perform a mitzvah, the Gemara says the rule is in Psochem, and Abzayim, kol ha-mitzvahs kulam, mevorach aleim, over lasiyosam. The Birchas HaMitzvah has to be recited prior to performing the mitzvah, but the Gemara doesn't say kodem. The Gemara says kol ha-mitzvahs kulam arach aleim oivah lasiyasim. What in the world does the word oivah mean? So the Gemara says the word oivah means something more than kodem. It means immediately before. You shouldn't say the bracha l'haniach tefillin and then start unwrapping, unwinding the tefillin and then rolling up your sleeve and then are under the chuppah. Are under the chuppah a lot of times. The rabbi says the bichas harisin, and then he calls up the witnesses, and then he starts asking the chassan whether it's his ring and whether it's a shomer pruta. He starts a whole conversation after he said the bracha before the chassan does the mitzvah. So all the whole conversation should be before the rabbi says the bichas harisin. And then immediately after reciting the bichas harisin, then the chassan should say harat mukudeshesli and give the ring to the kala. That's a bichas hamitzvah. Bichas hamitzvah should be recited over lasi yasam as opposed to over the over. It should be recited immediately prior to performing the mitzvah. So here also, it's not exactly a bichas hamitzvah. Asher bacha banu, we didn't say asher kedushan v'sosu tzvanu al kriyas ha-Torah. It's not really a bichas hamitzvah, it's a bichas ha-Torah. So also, the commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch say the bichas ha-Torah should be recited immediately before the aliyah begins. So if you're going to have the Sefer Torah closed, then you're going to say the bracha, then you're going to open it. So the opening it is going to take time. So that's a violation of over the over. That's how the standard commentaries write on Shulchan Aruch. Rav Soloveitchik liked a different pshat over here. He thought that the reason why it's over the over is a little snazzier than that. He thought it doesn't just mean that it takes time. He suggested that maybe the psichas ha-sefer, maybe when you open up the Sefer Torah, that's mechayiv you talein. When you close the Sefer Torah, then there's no longer a chiyuv. So he said, if you're going to open the Sefer Torah, see where the aliyah begins, then you're going to close it. When it's closed, you're not mechayiv talein. So what are you going to say a bracha now when it's closed? On the smach that you're going to open it again later on. But when it's closed, there's no chiyuv talein. So that's why it's over the over. Not over the over because it's going to take an extra moment to open up the Sefer Torah and to find the place again. Not so much because it's going to take extra time, but rather because it's over lasi yosam. When the Sefer Torah is closed, there's no chiyuv talein. When the Sefer Torah is open, there's still chiyuv talein more. So that's what he thought, that if one is wants to follow the Rambam, that makes sense that you should hold the Sefer Torah open. And he thought that the common practice is that between one Ali and the other, they close the Sefer Torah. Then the common practice is that the Baal Kori opens up the Sefer Torah, and he shows the Olal HaTorah where they're going to learn from. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that more correct would be that the Olal HaTorah should open the Sefer Torah himself. That he should do the Psichas HaSefer and the Psichas Mechayv and the Kriyas HaTorah, because he's the one who's getting this Aliyah. So he should open up the Sefer Torah. He should leave the Sefer Torah open while he says the Brachas. We're going to close it, then at the moment that the Sefer Torah is closed, there's no Chiyuv Talein. And only when you finish the whole Kriyas HaTorah, so then you close the Sefer Torah before you say the bracha. That everybody agrees. You shouldn't say Asher Nasan Lanu when the Sefer Torah is still open. Because when the Sefer Torah is open, you have to keep on laying weiter, weiter, weiter. So you should close the Sefer Torah and then say Asher Nasan Lanu. So the question is, for those who follow the Rambam's opinion, the simple reading of the Rambam, that not like Tosis. Tosis says that even though the din is like Rabbi Yehuda, that if you don't want to, you don't have to close the Sefer Torah. But it would be preferable to close the Sefer Torah when you say the bracha Asher Bacha Banu, the bracha before the Kriyas HaTorah. And the Rambam seems to hold that it's more correct not to close the Sefer Torah. So those who follow the Rambam, they leave the Sefer Torah open. So what's going to be with the concern that people may think brachas ksuvas ba-sefer? So the bracha Asher Nasan Lanu, that is taken care of. You close the Sefer Torah when you say Asher Nasan Lanu, so there's no problem. But the bracha Asher Bacha Banu, if the Sefer Torah is open when you're saying Asher Bacha Banu, so what's going to be with this concern? So the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch writes an old minig that most people no longer observe. He writes an old minig that the one who gets the aliyah should turn to the side. Instead of looking straight ahead, people may mistakenly think that the brachas ksuvas ba-sefer, he should turn to the side so everyone will see that he's not looking in the Sefer Torah when he says the brach. The Mishnah Berurah writes that this minig has fallen into oblivion. Nobody observes this minig anymore. So what's going to be with the concern people will think that the bracha is ksuvas ba-sefer? So the Mishnah Berurah says the common practice today is that people close their eyes.
What kind of the suggestion was good enough? Because Chazal, if turning away would not be something that would help, so how come Chazal went back in this? Because you have problems when you close and open this window, you have problems with the last yasin. So how come Chazal went back in something like turning away?
Good kasha? I don't know. It's a good kasha. So that's what the Ramah writes. The Ramah writes, if the Sefer Torah is open when you're saying the bracha, you should turn to the side. And the Mishnah Berurah writes that most people don't have that practice today. Most people just close their eyes. Regarding the bracha shenasan lano, there you don't have to turn to the side, you don't have to close your eyes. You just close the whole Sefer Torah. And that everyone agrees. You should close the Sefer Torah before they say the bracha shenasan lanu after the aliyah is finished. Is it necessary? Yeah.
Why one should need to? Why one can need to watch the sefer before the bracha?
Why do you have to see the correct place? Otherwise, it'll be over the over. You have like you shouldn't say a bracha on the tilas lulav before you have the lulav and the esrog and the hadasim in your hand. So here also, you have to know exactly where you're going to begin the kriyas haTorah. Every so often, it happens that the oilal haTorah says the bracha. And then the Balkari starts fishing around and he can't find a place. So that's what the Gemara says. You have to look, all the Tanoim agree, you have to look in the Sefer Torah first to find a place so you'll know exactly where the Aliyah is going to begin before you say the Bracha Asher Bacha Banu. How kosher does the Sefer Torah have to be in order to fulfill this Takonis Chachamim, the Takonis Shlomo HaMelech, and the Takonis Moshe Rabbeinu, and the Takonis Ezra to learn Kriyas HaTorah? So we have a Tshuvas HaRambam. Where the Rambam writes that it was a common practice in Spain that they used to learn Kriyas HaTorah Balpeh, or from Pasul HaSefer Torah. It's not necessary to have a kosher Sefer Torah. You look in the Rambam in Mishnah Torah and the Arach HaZakeh, the Rambam contradicts himself. The Rambam writes over there in Hilchos Sefer Torah, what are the requirements for a kosher Sefer Torah? And he writes, this is necessary in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Kisul Lachem HaSashir HaZoyz. There's a mitzvah that every Jewish man has an obligation to write or to commission a sefer to write a sefer Torah, and this is necessary in order to learn Kriyas HaTorah. If you don't have a kosher sefer Torah, you don't learn Kriyas HaTorah. So the Kesef Mishnah in his commentary on the side of the Rambam quotes a Tshuvas HaRashbo, who pointed out this discrepancy that apparently the Rambam Bialduso, when he was younger, wrote in the Tshuva that the common practice in Spain was that they were laying from a pasul a sefer Torah, they were laying bal peh. And then when he wrote, when he got to, later in life, when he got to write the Mishnah Torah, he changed his mind, and he thinks that you have to learn from a kosher Sefer Torah. So that's the practice that we follow, the way it says in Shulchan Aruch, it says like the Rambam writes in the Mishnah Torah, that you have to have a kosher Sefer Torah. The Kesef Mishnah was a Talmud of the Mahari Bei Rav. The whole history in the 1550s, when Mahari Bei Rav reinstituted the Smicha, so they gave Mari Beirav smicha, they gave Rabbi Yosef Kara smicha, a couple of other people got smicha, then I think the Alshech got smicha, then the whole thing conked out. Five or six people got smicha and the whole story ended. So the Kesef Mishnah, Rabbi Yosef Kara, will often quote, every so often, a quote from his Rebbe, the Mari Beirav, Rabbi Yankit Beirav. So he quotes, in the name of Mari Beirav, L'chatchila, we don't follow this Tshuvas HaRambam, that you can learn Kriyas HaTorah from a Pasul HaSefer Torah. But with the Eved, let's say you lay in half of the Sedra, then in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah, the Baal Kori notices that there's a mistake in the Sefer Torah. So you put away the Sefer Torah, take out a new Sefer Torah. So you have to start all over again from the beginning of the Kriyas HaTorah. So the Psak HaMekubal on Shulchan Aruch is from the Mari Bei Rav that you don't start all over again. The Rambam wrote in the Tshuva that the common practice all over Spain, B'chol Arei Svarad, was that they would lay in from a Pasul Sefer Torah, Baal Peh. So l'chatchili, we don't follow that, but the Eved, we rely on that. So you don't have to lean over whatever you leaned before. The Mishnah Berurah quotes Chumra from the Achrayim that you lean half of the Sedra, you don't have to lean over again, but you should try to make seven aliyahs in the rest of the Sedra. The Gabbai should try, since you're allowed to make Oisafas, so you should try to make extra aliyahs, if it's possible, to squeeze in seven aliyahs. I remember once here in the local shul, they found a mistake in Hazinu. They were in the middle of laning Hazinu, they found the mistake, so they put away the Sefer Torah, took out a new Sefer Torah. So the rabbi mistakenly was thinking right away of the Mishnah Berurah's Chumra. So he told him the Gabbai should make seven aliyahs from here to the end. No one argued with the rabbi. Then to Mincha, everybody came back to Mincha. So the rabbi said in public he made a mistake. The Gemara says you're not allowed to make Oisafis in Parshas Hazinu. The Gemara has a din, in the end of Maseches Rosh Hashanah, that the aliyahs, the first six aliyahs in Hazinu are the Shira's Hazinu. So there's a Rosh Tevis Hazivloch, Hei Zayin Yud Vav Lamed Chav. Hazivloch are the Rosh Tevis of those six aliyahs. That's where they used to lay in the Beis Hamikdash. Every Shabbos they would say a Shir Shal Yom by the Tomid Shal Shachar. They would say Miz Mishal Yom Shabbos, and by the Nisach Hayayin of the Musafim. Every Shabbos they would say one section. Every 6 weeks they would finish the whole Shiras Hazinu. So they would recite one section of the Shiras Hazinu. And then the Gemara says, and the way they divided Hazinu was this way, Haziv Loch, And Kishem Shachalukim Bebeis HaMikdash Kachalukim Bebeis HaKnesset. Just like the Levim, when they sang the Shira at the time of Nisach HaYayin, after the Musafim of Shabbos, they divided Hazino into these six sections, Haziblach, so too in Shul, when the Len Kriyas HaTorah, you're not allowed to break up Hazino into smaller sections. So when it came Mincha, that Shabbos, this was Amaisa 20 years ago, when it came Mincha Shabbos, the rabbi apologized to the Balabatim and said he made a mistake. That Chumra of the Mishnah Berurah, that you should try to make seven aliyahs from here to the end, only applies on all the other sedras, doesn't apply to Hazino. Hazino, you're not allowed to break up the smaller aliyahs. What kind of a din is that? You're not allowed to break it up. So Rav Soloveitchik explained, the din requires, the Gemara has a din, kol psuka do loy paskin moisha anan loy paskinu. When you learn Kriyas HaTorah, you have to learn kichsovoy. You have to learn it correctly. You're not allowed to learn start or stop in the middle of a pasuk. Or similarly, Rav Soloveitchik said, a lot of Bali Kriya have the practice that they learn two psukim together. Instead of ending sof pasuk, instead of ending and pausing in between one pasuk and the other, they'll go weiter. They'll connect one pasuk with the other. So he thought that's also a violation of kichsovoy. Just like you're not allowed to break up a pasuk into two, so you're not allowed to take two psukim and then combine them into one. You have to pause in between one pasuk and the next. And whenever the parsha requires that it should be read as a poem, Shiras Hazinu is a poem. So if you're going to make Hoysophis in the middle of the poem, so you're going to kill the whole poem. So that's what the Gemara says. Shiras Hazinu has a special way, the way it's supposed to be read. You have to divide it according to Hazivloch. I remember I was once in a shul. I was once in a Bimikra, I happened to be Parsha Sazin, I happened to be in London, and there was a bar mitzvah, and so the bar mitzvah was a kohen, and the father was a kohen, and the grandfather was a kohen. They weren't even religious people, but they all wanted an aliyah, because there was a bar mitzvah. So they made hoysophis and hazinu. So I remember I was walking home with the rabbi of the shul, so I asked him, during the Kriyas HaTorah, I didn't want to make a whole fuss. After I was walking home with the rabbi, so I said, the Gemara says you're not allowed to make Hoysophis in Hazinu. He never heard of it. I showed him, I ate by him on Shabbos. Showed him Shulchan Aruch. He never heard of that din. Okay, it's Taka din in the Gemara. In the days of the Gemara, the practice was that whoever got an aliyah used to lane his own aliyah. Today, the practice is that the one who gets the aliyah only recites the brachas, and the Balkori lanes the Kriyas HaTorah. Where does this come from? So the Tosfos in a few places explains that this is pattern. This is a takana that was introduced in the days of the Baliyat Tosfos, that a Balkori lanes for everybody. You don't let a person lane his own. And this is patterned after the takana that appears in the Mishnah in Bikurim. The Mishnah says in Bikurim that Betchila, originally, the farmers would bring the Bikurim to the Beis HaMikdash, and they would all recite Arami Avid Avi. How did they all know how to say Arami Avid Avi? So the Gemara says they had a plaque on the wall. Easy enough. So the Gemara says, not easy enough. You're not allowed to write a plaque, Arami Avid Avi, because it's less than a Sefer Sholem. Arami Avid Avi is from the middle of Chumash Dvarim. So if you have the whole Chumash Dvarim, that's okay. You're not allowed to have a plaque. So how do they have a plaque? The Gemara says, they had a plaque in Rosh Tevis. Aleph, 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 Arami Avid Avi, Vav Men, Vayered Mitzrayimah. You can keep on going. So most of the farmers were not able to figure out Aleph, 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 Vav Men. That is, stands for Arami Avid Avi, Vayered Mitzrayimah. So those who could figure it out, those who remembered a little bit from Pesach, from the Haggadah, so they bring their Bikurim and they see this plaque on the wall and they'd start rattling off Arami Avid Avi, and then they would give the Bikurim to the Kohen. Other farmers couldn't figure out heads or tails from this Rosh HaTevis, so they had to have somebody recite Arami Avid Avi for them. So the Mishnah says, Nimnu Milohavi. A lot of the farmers stopped bringing Bikurim. I should travel from Kiryat Shmona 6 hours to get to Yerushalayim, and then I should be humiliated in the Beis HaMikdash, that they have a whole line of farmers, and the first couple of farmers rattle off Arami Avid Avi, and I don't know how to figure out that Rosh HaTevis. So they stopped coming to bring the Bikur. So the Mishnah says that they made a takona during the period of the second Beis HaMikdash. They don't allow anybody to say his own Arami Avid Avi, Kedesh Olo Levayesh Es Misheini Yadeh, in order not to embarrass the one who doesn't know. The Rambam in a tshuva writes, and this is quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, Rama Menachuva writes that the Birchas Erisin that's recited under the Chuppah should really be recited by the Chassan. But not all the Chassan know how to read Hebrew with Nekudas. So what are you going to embarrass him under the Chuppah? He knows how to daven. He's been davening for the last 25 years. He knows how to daven. Doesn't know how to say Birchas Erisin. So in order not to embarrass Kadesh Olah Levayesh Es Misheini Yodeya, So the Rambam says we introduce the minhag that no chosin says his own birchas harisin. We'll always have a rabbi say the birchas harisin on behalf of the chosin, similar to this Mishnah in Bikurim, that they discontinue the practice. They don't allow any farmer to recite Arami Abadavi. You always have someone else recite it on behalf of the farmer, and the farmer's yotze with Shemer Koina. So Tosis writes in a few places that that is our practice today, that we have a Balkoire. Nobody lends their own aliyah. We always have a Balkoire who should lend for you in order not to embarrass the one who does know how to lend. So whoever gets the aliyah just says the brach and the Balkoire lends. So in Shulchan Aruch they quote the Rosh. The Rosh says in Megillah, on Gemara Megillah, in that discussion, that that's not enough. In addition to the Balkoire laning and being moitzi everybody, being moitzi the Oyla Latara with Shemei Koina, we would require also that the Oyla Latara should lain along. So that's a machloikis, how serious do you have to take this Rosh? Let's say a person is blind. So he cannot lain from the Sefer Torah. So he cannot give a blind man an aliyah, because he cannot learn from the Sefer Torah. So there was one of the Achrayim was blind, I'm sure more than one. One of them was blind, and he wrote the Tshuvas Masas Binyamin. How did he write Tshuvas if he was blind? He dictated the Tshuvas. So the Masas Binyamin was blind, and he dictated the Tshuva that you can give an aliyah to a blind person. That the Rosh is only a Chumrah, Mikra Din, you can get an aliyah even though you can't learn along. So the Mishnah Brura, this is quoted in Shulchan Aruch. This is a quote in Shulchan Aruch, the Masas Binyamin says that even a blind person could get an aliyah. But l'chatchila, we would require that the person should lay along. So you shouldn't give a blind person, you shouldn't give an Amoritz an aliyah. The Amoritz also won't be able to read along with the Balkari. So the Mishnah Brura says, whenever you can, you should be machmir. That the Oyla Latara should lay along with the Balkari, he should read softly with the Balkari. And the Mishnah Brura says, on Parsha Zohar, some Rishonim are of the opinion that Parsha Zohar that you read once a year every year. Our practice, we read Parsha Zohar once a year every year, the Shabbos before Purim. So there is an opinion in Shulchan Aruch that Parsha Zohar is a din daraisa. So the Mishnah Brura says you shouldn't give Parsha Zohar to a person who's blind, or to a person who is not able to read along, because according to the Rosh, you're really not yotzei kriyas haTorah like that. So since Parsha Zohar is deraisa, one should be machmen to make sure that the one who gets the aliyah is going to lay in along. What's the story with the Haftorah? So the Tanoim instituted that you should lay in a Haftorah. The Haftorah has to be in Yonah D'Yoyma. What's considered in Yonah D'Yoyma? So if it's Rosh Chodesh, so you lay in something about Rosh Chodesh. If it's the 3 weeks before Tisha B'Av, say lain the Klas de Poranusa, the three Haftaras from Yirmiyah that complain about the Jewish people and say about the Churban, the 7 weeks following Tisha B'Av, you lain the Sheb de Nechemta. You want to have a little Nechama, so that's in Yonah D'Yoma. If it's not the 3 weeks immediately preceding Tisha B'Av, not the 7 weeks following Tisha B'Av, the Sheb de Nechemta, so we always lain a Haftarah that has something to do with the Parsha, because the Inyan of the Yom is the theme of the Parsha Sashavua. What if you happen to lain two Parshias, Matas Masi, or you're laying Chukas Bolok, whatever? So the Abu Dram records two Minhagim, whether the Inyan of the Yom is that you should lain a Haftarah that has connection with the first Parsha or connection with the second Parsha. The common practice is that the Haftarah has a connection with the second Parsha as opposed to with the first Parsha. In the days of the Gemara, there were two practices, how long it took to finish the whole Kriyas HaTorah, from Bereshis till the end of Azayis HaBrocha. So the Gemara records that in Eretz Yisrael, they had a three-year cycle. They would lay in the first third of Parshas Bereshis 1 week, the second third of Bereshis the second week, the third third the third week, and then the fourth week they would lay in the first third of Noach, and so on. Now, in some of the conservative synagogues, they don't want to spend so much time on Kriyas HaTorah because the people don't understand it. So they imitate a little bit, not exactly. They imitate a little bit this old practice. So 1 year, on Parshas Bereishis, they'll only lay in the first third. Parshas Noach, they'll lay in the first third of Parshas Noach. So they'll be missing the two-thirds of Bereishis. Then the second year, they'll lay in the second third of Bereishis. And on Parshas Noach, they'll lay in the second third of Noach. Then the third year, they'll lay the third third of Bereshit. So that they never had that in the days of the Tanoim. That practice never existed. They lay in order. And they had Simchas Torah once every 3 years. I don't know, in these conservative synagogues, do they celebrate Simchas Torah once every 3 years or every year? I don't know. We should speak to them to find out. Okay. And then the Minigan bubble was that they laned the whole Kriyas HaTorah, they finished the whole Sefer Torah in 1 year, and they would celebrate Simchas Torah every year. In Eretz Yisrael, they had Simchas Torah only once every 3 years, every 3.5 years. It took much longer. So because in Eretz Yisrael, every parsha was divided into three units, and they would only lay 1/3 this week, and the next third the next week, next third the next week, so they had three different haftarahs. So that's why a lot of times we have on one parsha two or three haftarahs. Why not? In Eretz Yisrael, when they had the practice of dividing the seder into three parts, so they had to have every week, they had to have another... haftarah. In the Shulchan Aruch, they quote a minhog, it's not a din, that we should, when you're laying matas masay, when you're laying mechuborim, two sedras together, you should be careful not to be mechabed one parsha, one sedra with more aliyahs than the other sedra. We should practice on the parshios. The parshios are not going to feel insulted, but we should practice on the parsha, so when it comes to human beings, we should be careful not to hurt people's feelings. So if you have two bekavadikat people, and you're going to give more kavod to one person than the other one, so the other one may feel insulted, he may feel hurt. So we should practice on the sedras not to give more aliyahs to one sedra than the other. So that's why the practice is that we give seven aliyahs on Shabbos. So if you're laying two sedras, so you give 3.5 aliyahs in the first seif, in the first parsha, and 3.5 aliyahs in the second parsha. How do you do that? Your mechaber, you combine the two with revi. Revi gets the end of the first sedra and the beginning of the second sedra. So here the commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch have a machlokes how this is supposed to play out if you decide you want to make hoisofis. So some of the achrayim say, forget about the hoisofis. The main thing is the zayin kruim. The first seven aliyahs are the most important, and you should give 3.5 aliyahs in the first sedra, 3.5 aliyahs in the second sedra. If you want to make hoisofis, all the hoisofis should be later. Should always be mechaper the two sedras with revi. Make all the hoisofis in the second sefer. And the levush is a commentary on the Shulchan Aruch, which we usually do not accept. So the levush writes not so. He says the gabbai has to make up his mind in advance how many hoisofis he's going to make. So let's say instead of seven aliyahs, he plans to give 10 aliyahs. He's going to give 3 hoisofis. So he should give 5 aliyahs in the first parsha and 5 aliyahs in the second parsha. If he makes up his mind, he wants to give 12 aliyahs, so he should give 6 aliyahs in the first parsha, 6 aliyahs in the second parsha. So because of this machlekes achrayim, how do you do this if you want to make hoisofis? Should you divide between the two sedras all of the aliyahs? You plan to give 12 aliyahs, so you should give 6 and 6. Or no, you should only divide the Iker Zayin Kruin. The Mechaber, the connection should always be with Revi. So because of this Machlokes, that's why Rav Soloveitchik said that his father recommended that whenever you're laying two sedras, you shouldn't make any Hoisofis. So you don't get involved in the Machlokes. Yeah. Many Achrayim are of the opinion that Bizman HaZetz Bechlal not right to make Hoisofis. Bizman HaGemara, that every Oyla Latorah said the Brocha and he laying his own Parsha, so it makes sense to say make Hoisofis. Bizman HaZeh, basically, the Balkari is getting all the aliyahs. And the Oyla Latorah is just Moitzi the Balkari with the brachas. So the Balkari got all the 7 aliyahs. You have to make now 15 aliyahs. The same person getting all the aliyahs. So that's what many are opposed. They say, Bechlal, Bizman HaZeh, it's not right to make Hoisofis because the people are not laying their own.
So are we saying is this considered as a Daraisa or Darabana? We don't get to... If you need kavana, because it's not like the first kavana, the rabbana, meaning if you need mitzvah kavana. I mean, shemar kavin, do they have to make? They have, meaning the bal kara, the one who's reading the Torah, do they have to have kavana shemoiti, or if it's a rabbana, maybe we could make or.
When a person, the Chayyadam is quoted by the Mishnah Brura as saying, Chayyadam writes, person goes to shul in the morning, he's half asleep, so he puts on his talis and his tefillin and he davens. Even though he's half asleep, we assume that that's called kavana. If you'd ask him, what are you doing? He's saying, I'm fulfilling the mitzvah of talis and tefillin and davening and kriyas shema. The balkari is laying, so of course he has kavana. That's what the balkari is doing.
Right,
hayadam
is a diabet. So my question was...
No, I don't know if it's
b'diabet.
No, it's an umdina, that's what he's doing. The balkari is laying, so of course he has kavana lotz. You have a shaila, if a person is practicing... Kia Shofar in the morning of Rosh Hashanah, he's going to be the Baltic Ace practicing, And he didn't really have a mind to be Yotze. He didn't have a mind not to be Yotze, but he didn't have a mind to be Yotze because it's not that he didn't start davening Shachris yet. So that's a Shaila Nigamar, whether Mitzvah Tzichas Kavana. But if a person is half asleep and he lanes Kriyas HaTorah, so that's Kavana. That's considered Kavana Latzes. In the days of the Balei HaTosfos, they suffered through the Crusades. Many of them lost their lives because of the Crusades. So the story is recorded in the Or HaZeruah and it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. The Mechaber quotes this. Then on one occasion, they were davening Shacharis, and then they heard a riot outside. They heard the Crusaders were coming. So everybody ran for their lives, and they were hiding. Everybody was hiding in the basement of their home. They were afraid to come out. The whole day Shabbos, they didn't get together again. So then they never lay in Kriyas HaTorah. This is in the middle of Shacharis, the Crusaders came, and everybody ran for their lives. So the next week, they lay in the two Sedras. It wasn't Matas Masse, it was whatever, Boy V'Shalach. It wasn't the two Sedras that are Mechubar. So that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch, that if there was if the people were together and they didn't lay in Kriyas HaTorah for some reason or another, then the next week they should lay in two Sedras like Mechubar. What if the two Sedras happen to be, one of them is Vaychi and one of them is Shmos? It's from two different Chumashim. Vaychi is the end of Bereshis, and Shmos is the beginning of the next Chumash. That says in Shulchan Aruch, you don't make Mechubarim from two different Svar. Let's say one of the weeks that they missed, let's say, was Pinchas. The next week they get together, it's Matas Masay. So you're going to learn three Sedras, you're going to learn Pinchas Matas Masay. So Seder Shulchan Aruch, that's too much. That's a Tichah de Tzipur. They're not expected to learn three Sedras. That's the way it says in Shulchan Aruch. They quote in the biography of the Chazon Ish that he was once imprisoned by the British. He was participating in a demonstration about Shmirah Shabbos. So the British, imagine the Chazon Ish. So he was a very mild person. So they put him in prison for a couple of weeks and he missed Kriyas HaTorah for all those Shabbosim. So he missed that for two or three weeks. So then he convinced the group of Balabatim to do him a favor and to listen to the whole Kriyas HaTorah. So they laned around three or four Sedras. The Balabatim were happy to go along with him. And they laned seven aliyahs. They took three or four Sedras and they laned seven aliyahs. So he thought that the Tircha de Tzibura means it's not right to be Matrich de Tzibura if they don't want to. But if the people are happy to go along with you, why not? There is a question. Let's say this happens in America every so often. Let's say there's a snowstorm and no one showed up to shul on Shabbos morning. There was no minyan. That's why they didn't have Kriyas HaTorah. Does the same thing apply? So some of the poskim say no, because the original story was that Tzibur was there and they davened Shacharis. In the middle of Shacharis, they heard the riots in the streets, so they ran away. So since they did gather together and they did davened Shacharis, they became Uchiv to hear Kriyas HaTorah. So then, in order to fulfill that chiyuv, to lay Kriyas HaTorah this week as Parshas Boy, the next week they're going to lay Boy and Bishalach together. But if no one came to shul at all, there never was a tzibus, and maybe there never was a chiyuv to lay Kriyas HaTorah in the first place. That's what some Acharenim say. I think the common practice is not so. Common practice is that if there was a snowstorm, and enough people didn't show up in shul, a minyan of people didn't show up in shul on Shabbos, then the next Shabbos they'll lay the two Sedras. The Gemara points out that the institution of Kriyas HaTorah as we know it today is patterned after the description of Kriyas HaTorah that appears in Nehemiah, that's in Tanakh. Ezra Nehemiah, strictly speaking, is one book in the Tanakh. The Christians made them two different books. In the Christian Bible, they made Ezra separate and Nehemiah separate. The Gemara says that it's really one sefer. So in Nehemiah chapter Ches, they describe that they opened up the Beis HaMikdash, the Beis Sheni, began functioning on Rosh Hashanah. And Ezra was a kohen and he got the first aliyah, and he said, Baruch HaShem HaVorach. Exactly, the whole description of Kriyas HaTorah, the way we practice it today, the whole thing appears in the Nehemiah Perek. So that's, it says there in the Pasuk, Ukipischoi, and when they opened up the Sefer Torah, Omdu Kol HaOm. Everybody stood up. What does that mean? So the Gemara says in Maseches Soto, in Perek Elan Amorim, Kipischoi, Omdu Kol HaOm, Ein Amida El Ashtika. It doesn't mean that everybody stood up, it means that everybody was quiet. When you open up the Sefer Torah, you're not allowed to talk. The Maharam Rutenberg had a practice, a personal practice, that he used to stand during Kriyas HaTorah. It would appear from his tshuvas that the Balabatim in the shul did not stand. He didn't ask of the Balabatim they should stand. He didn't think that the Pasuk means, when you open up the Sefer Torah, everybody has to stand. This is his personal preference. He decided that if Kavod HaTorah, he wanted to stand. In the Shulchan Aruch, they quote the Tshuvas HaRambam that it's not right to show more kavod to the Aseres HaDibros than to any other part of the Sefer Torah. We believe that the whole Torah was given by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not just the Ten Commandments. All the 613 mitzvahs were given, and every pasuk was dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu equally. So if you're going to stand for the Aseres HaDibros and not stand for the rest of the Kriyas HaTorah, it looks as if you're giving, placing more importance to the Aseres HaDibros.
I just want to note that, like, the Bachar or Nam Aretz would stand for Lenin. Would that theoretically possibly be a problem with Yorah?
Rav Moshe Feinstein writes, if the rabbi in the shul doesn't stand, so he says he doesn't think it's right for the yeshiva bochum to stand. But if the rabbi, let's say over here in Broya, the rabbi was 98 years old, so of course he didn't stand, Rabbi Broya. When he was 88 years old, he did stand. So if the rabbi always did stand just because of old age, he doesn't stand, so then it's assumed the yeshiva bochum do stand. Here in the yeshiva, for many years, the minhag always was that everybody stood during Kriyas HaTorah. The Rambam in the Tshuva writes this, that it's not proper to stand for Aseres HaDibros, based on the Gemara, the end of the first Perek in Brochus. The Gemara says that in the Beis HaMikdash, the practice was that every day at the end of Shachris, they used to recite the Aseres HaDibros. And then there was, after the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, a suggestion was made that maybe this should be instituted in all the shuls all over the world. Everybody should lay in Aseres HaDibros. So they said it's not a good idea, but because of Tarumas Aminim, that there are Apikursim would think that only Aseres HaDibros would give him an Hashemayim. So you shouldn't give more Hashivas to the Aseres HaDibros than to any other part of the Sefer Torah. So that's why the Rambam writes, he thinks that it's not right to stand in Aseres HaDibros and to sit for the rest of Kriyas HaTorah. The common practice is that that we do that, that everybody does stand for Aseres HaDibros. So that's problematic. Okay. The Gemara says that the one who gets Hagbah,
Rebbe last year,
Rav Soloveitchik gave a whole defense. He gave a whole explanation. He said the Rambam probably did not lay Tam HaElyon. Rambam lay the regular Kriyas HaTorah. He says our meaning is that we lay Tam HaElyon. Tam HaElyon, what's the difference between the Tam HaElyon? Tam HaElyon, you lay the Aseres HaDibros not as Psukim, but as Dibros. Each of the Aseres HaDibros is laid as if it's a Pasuk Bifnei Atzmo. Even though it's part of a longer pasuk, so you treat each one of the Aseres HaDibros as a separate pasuk. Several of the Aseres HaDibros have a few psukim, so the Tam HaTachton, the normal kriya, you lay breaking it up into psukim. And the Tam HaElyon, you take all the psukim in one dibur and you treat it as if it were one pasuk. The Rav Soloveitchik thought that since our practices, maybe our practice is wrong. Who says we have the right to lay with Tam HaElyon? We're not sure exactly. Who instituted this practice of laning with Tam HaElyon? Many Gedolim did not permit laning with Tam HaElyon. They said it's a violation of Kol Psukim LePaskei Moshe and Non LePaskei. You have to lane according to the breakup of the Psukim. But Lemaisa, that's our practice. We lane on in public, Parshas Yisran, Parshas Vaschanan, on Shavuos. We always lane with the Tam HaElyon, so we're laning as if we're reliving Maimon HaSinai. On the occasion of Maimon HaSinai, everybody was standing. So that's He defended our minhag. He said the Rambam only says you're not allowed to stand for Aseres HaDibros because the Rambam lay in Tam HaTachton. Going to our minhag, we lay in Tam HaElyon, so maybe it's permissible. Okay? Correct. The Gemara says that the one who gets Hagbah, Gemara has an expression, the one who gets Hagbah, Notel Schar Keneged Kulam. He gets as much reward as all of the other people together. What Hagbah is the most important kibbutz that you can get? What is that all about? So some of the Rishonim say on that Gemara, because Hagbah has a Mokar and Chumash, the whole Kriyas HaTorah is only with the Rabbanon, and Hagbah is Epis HaDin De'Araisa, that HaGrizim and HaRevo, when they proclaimed the 11 Brachas of Klolos, so one of them was Baruch HaShayokim is Divrei HaTorah Zos, or HaShaloyokim is Divrei HaTorah Zos. What do you mean Baruch HaShayokim? So the Rishonim says it refers to the one who gets Hagbah, that you have to hold up the Sefer Torah in a decent fashion. That's a question whether that's really what it means. So some say that's the reason why the one is a magbi, a notel schak, and eget kulam, because the hagba has a mocker in chumash. The Gemara says, but the one who gets Hagbah should really open up the Sefer Torah where the Tfira is. So that the one who goes Galila and he rolls it together should have the Tfira, the stitch should be in the middle, in case the Sefer Torah should rip. It should tear by the stitch, as opposed to if you're going to close it very tightly and it's not going to be by the stitch, so you may tear the whole Sefer Torah. So preferable is, the Gemara says, you should have the stitch in the middle. The Shulchan Aruch says that when a person gets Galila, a lot of people make a mistake. When a person does Galila, he should take the Chagoyra, he should take the Gartel. Let's say the Magbiya is holding the Sefer Torah, the one who has Galila takes the Gartel and goes like this. A lot of times they take the Gartel, go in between the one who has Hagbah and the Sefer Torah, and they start pulling the Sefer Torah towards them. So that says in Shulchan Aruch, you shouldn't do that. You should first take the Chagoyra against the Sefer Torah, pulling it towards the Magbiya. Rabbi Soloveitchik told us that there was a balabas in Boston who wanted his daughter to marry a Talmid Chacham, but he was an Am Haaretz, so he didn't know how to test the boys if they knew how to learn. So he was the gabbai in shul, so he always saw to it that he gave them Galila. Everybody failed the test. Everybody did Galila the wrong way. Everybody put the gartel in between the magbia and the Sefer Torah. That says in Shulchan Aruch that you're not supposed to do that. Even according... Even according to the practice that we do permit hoisafis bisman hazeh, some achronim say you shouldn't make any hoisafis because the Baal Kori is laning everything. The Oilel HaTorah is not laning at all. So basically, the Baal Kori is taking all the aliyahs. They're saying the brachas for him. So why should you give him more than seven aliyahs? So even according to the practice that they do allow hoisafis, Rav Shlomo Levilner writes in his sefer in Binyan Shlomo that you shouldn't permit hoisafis on a day on which you lane from three sifrei Torah because. The second Sefer Torah should be one of the Zayin Kruim. If you're going to make Hoysofas, it'll come out that the second Sefer Torah was just a Hoysofa, and he thinks that that's not correct. Many Achrayim write that when you get to the last Pasuk, and the meaning is everybody screams out Chazak, Chazak, Venis Chazek, that everybody says that except for the Oilel HaTorah. The Oilel HaTorah has to say the Baruch HaShenosan Lano. So that's not right that he should be mafsik in between his aliyah and the bracha asher nasan lanu. Lubavitch has the minig that they do say. They record that their minig is that they hold that the Oilel HaTorah may say chazak chazak v'nis chazek. But most of the classical poskim say that it's not right. There used to be a character here in the neighborhood. He used to daven in the local aguda. So he would always walk over every single time that there was a chazak. He would walk over next to the Oilel HaTorah. And they always say chazak, chazak, v'nis chazak before they say the bracha. Then he said, you did wrong. He would always wait till he would do it wrong. Then he said, you did wrong. You're not supposed to do it. Better would have been. He should have told them in advance. That the Achrenim say, you shouldn't say the Oilel HaTorah shouldn't say chazak, chazak, v'nis chazak. Rav Soloveitchik pointed out there is a Tosfos in brachas which seems to say that when they learn Kriyas HaTorah, everyone should be facing the Sefer Torah. Whoever has his back to the Sefer Torah is not Yetzer. So let's say some people daven in front of the shul, in between the bima and the Aron Kodesh. So they should turn around. Those who daven in the front should turn around when the Baal Kori is laying Kriyas HaTorah. Okay, there's a wonderful sefer I forgot to bring it in. Al Hilchas Kriyas HaTorah, written by Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolius. It's called the Shari Ephraim. The Mishnah Berurah quotes it on every page of Hilchas Kriyas HaTorah, and he writes that the reason why he wrote this sefer is because this is the most embarrassing thing for a rabbi. If they find a mistake in the Sefer Torah in the middle of Lainix, they have to know what to do. Which mistake do you take out another Sefer Torah, which not? And then if you do have to take out another Sefer Torah, do you finish this Aliyah with this Sefer Torah, or do you finish the Aliyah in the new Sefer Torah? So what motivated him to write the whole Sefer is because of that. So it's not important to look through. It's a beautiful Sefer, Shari Ephraim. And then in the recent editions, they have footnotes on the bottom, Malikot, from all of the Achrayim, all kinds of fascinating and hugging and connection with Kriyas HaTorah. Okay, I think next week we're going to talk about Toys and Tefillah, if I'm not mistaken. Okay.